Kenny.
No, it's Friday.
Gasp.
Yes, it is. Where's, do I have one? Yeah.
Oh,
yep. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
No, I'm doing well.
You are quite well this morn. Yes, indeed.
This morn, I'm doing well.
Okay. Yes, you are. It's Friday. April 8th.
That's all you can say.
April 8th, 2016. This that you're listening to right now is episode 294 of the Morning Show podcast. Yeah, getting real close to number 300 here.
What are we going to do?
Nothing spectacular. It'll be just like every other day.
We should just do like a live film commentary of the movie 300.
That sounds like a great idea. A fantastic idea. We could do all the voiceover. You could be the gold guy, and I could be the well that swallows up people, maybe.
Nope.
It's Well Friday.
Yes, it is. If you'd like to, if it suits you well, you could go over to goodstuff.fm/live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. We are streaming there right now, in fact.
Ooh, hey. Huh.
You can suggest titles for the show. So if you're downloading later and you've always wondered, man, I wonder how they choose that spectacular title based on the silly things that they once said in that episode. That is exactly how we do it. We put a little marker there, and this should be a title. And then we go over to stuffybot.goodstuff.fm, and we vote on them all. Vote on them all.
Yeah, because I can't remember what we said.
No, not at all.
As soon as the recording stops, I forget everything I said in the last hour and a half, and it's like a mind erase. Mm-hmm. It's like a mind wipe.
It's the mind eraser.
Yeah, I just keep wiping and wiping.
Oh, no, like a marker. Hey, so indeed, it's Food Friday. Later on in the show, as we always do on a Food Friday, I've got something for us. So there you go.
I still have these.
They're typically... Okay. I think you should just eat those. That's fine with me.
It's still on my desk.
So I've got something that will, I think, cap off what we've been trying recently with a bang. So we'll just we'll wait until the Food Friday segment for that. Kenny, though, yesterday, did you see the Rogue One trailer?
Yeah, speaking of teasers, I did see the trailer, Kyle.
I'm
very excited.
Aha!
You know it's tough to imagine that we are going to get a new Star Wars movie every December, basically for the rest of time.
That's true. Once Disney realizes, oh my goodness, why weren't we doing this for the last 20 years?
Yeah.
I agree. I think it'll be just Star Wars movies all the way down. Now, it's going to be weird, though, because when you think of Star Wars, and if you see them right there, like you said, in December, there's going to be this really strange, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's going to be this weird feeling of like, man, why isn't it snowing? Or why isn't it cold? Or where's my presents?
Uh-huh.
When you see a Star Wars movie.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're going to associate it with the holidays.
Bingo.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that's what Disney's always banking on, right? You either release a movie in the summer for the summer blockbuster, or you release it in the holidays because you get everybody to go see it.
That's right.
Who's back home, or, you know, go see it as families. And Star Wars, if anything, is a family movie.
I love ruining Christmases by going to see movies on the 25th.
Why does that ruin family Christmases?
Because I make you work, make you work on the 25th at a theater.
I'm pretty sure that employees get double time that day, though.
Double time.
Because it's like the biggest holiday of the year.
Right.
So yes. I think they're more willing to work it.
Work it.
Well, anyway, back to the trailer.
Yes.
What did you think?
I thought it was okay.
Are you excited for it?
I'm excited, but I don't know. Maybe it was just the fact that all of those different scenes were taken out of context. There was a lot of weird overacting, in my opinion.
So you thought that the intensity
I'm a
was...
rebel. Don't you know? I'm a rebel. I did this and I did this.
Just a little. It was
it's
a
because
little
we haven't
handed.
Had.
Well, I expected a teaser. I wanted to be teased. This basically gave me the main character, the plot. I know exactly what's going to happen. So I don't know.
I'm excited. We already knew still. That this was the movie.
Sure. Yes, but I wanted the visuals to be a little more.
Oh, I thought the visuals were perfect.
You got to tease were it
you,
a little
were
more.
You, did you watch enough to like pause it and look at what was really going on in the background? Because most of the time, I'm pretty sure there's like five or six shots of there's a downed X-Wing in the back of the shot.
Or the droid that has the two legs. Right. I saw the whole visual breakdown over on what? Mashable? Probably not. But I did see the breakdown. So.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll see. I'm sure they'll release some more Rogue One trailers soon. But what did you think? You tell me now. What's your favorite?
You know what?
Part?
I'll say that the best thing that they're doing is not trying to have a bridge between 6 and 7 or 7 and 8
over the Red Sea.
Sure. But rather they're kind of veering off completely and having a story from the original trilogy.
Right.
And I think that's really good.
Well, and someone pointed out the casting of particular characters seems to be very much in line with either what we had previously seen in Return of the Jedi or what I guess is maybe in books somewhere. But it seems like the casting so far, what we've seen, is pretty good.
I won't say, though. I mean, I'd want it to be just as good as, you know, all the other Star Wars movies in terms of its reception and how good the movie is. But we kind of have to be prepared for this one to be the maybe it gets like a 75% rating, right? Like maybe this is the movie that doesn't break all the records. This is the Star Wars movie that you go see because you love Star Wars and not just... I have a passing likeness for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right.
This is, I feel like this might be more fan service than anything more than that, but who knows? I could be wrong.
Yeah. I think you might be because all we've seen so far is a teaser trailer. So
I'm just talking about the hype.
Oh,
I don't want to get the hype too. I mean, the hype for Episode 7 was just astronomical.
What?
And so this kind of rides on the coattails of that just a little bit.
All right. So what would that sound like?
Maybe. Yeah.
More like that.
Riding the coattails.
Maybe.
Sure. Okay. Sure, Kyle.
All right.
Whatever
good,
you want.
Good. Sounds great.
Some headlines?
Yeah. Let's.
what?
Let's move on to some headlines.
These are today's headlines.
Kyle, Tesla announced yesterday that it has received 325,000 pre-orders for its recently unveiled Model 3. If it sells every car that has been reserved, the company says it will earn enough revenue to make this one of the, quote, biggest one-week launch products of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Tesla says the number of pre-orders it has received so far corresponds to 14 billion, billion with a B, in implied future sales.
I think my pinky is stuck in the corner of my mouth. I don't know how that happened.
What?
Billion.
Musk revealed that only 5% of Model 3 pre-order customers reserved 2 cars, the maximum allowed. I had no idea that you could do that.
I had no idea either, but that's not bad. I mean, you've got to be
like
willing.
Racing yourself.
No, you got to be willing to drop down, $70,000 for this.
When it's released.
When it's released. I guess you could get 2 and then just be like, nah, sorry, I just want 1.
I talked to a guy who said that, and this guy, I don't even anticipate him going through with it, but he said, oh no, I threw down a pre-order. And I said, really? And he goes, I'm 152 in line, or 153 in line. So Yeah, he has like one of the top spots, and all he had to do was throw down $1,000. And he says that if he wants to back out, it's completely fine. He gets a full refund of his deposit, and then everybody else gets to move up because his spot is then removed.
Huh. Right? That's cool. That's not. It's like a line. It's basically a line that you pay $1,000 to stand in.
Right, but it's just a straightforward, you know, queue
in and out. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Now, do you think $14 billion, that's a lot of future potential sales? Do you think the majority of those people are going to pull out?
I don't think of the majority. I think we'd see about 20%, probably. 20% might drop out of there.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. Oh, moving on, Kyle. A little more than 9 months after the loss of its Dragon spacecraft during a cargo flight to the International Space Station, SpaceX is ready to set matters right. Kyle, on Wednesday, the company completed a successful static firing of its Falcon 9 rocket engines. I like saying Falcon 9. And a Thursday readiness review found all systems were go for a launch on Friday afternoon. That's today, Kyle. The resupply flight will carry 3,136 kilograms of cargo to the station inside the Dragon capsule, including the 1,413 kilogram Bigelow expandable activity module.
That's
called the beam.
Okay.
I guess it's going to have a beam on board.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. No. And while there has been some excitement about the potential for expandable habitats in space, which may lead to much larger living quarters for human activity, much of the anticipation of today's launch, again revolves around whether SpaceX will make a historic landing on a drone ship at sea. Launch is scheduled, here we go, 4:43 Eastern or 9:43 BST. What's BST?
Before
SpaceX takes off.
That's right.
Well, so anyway,
I hope it doesn't crash. I really do.
Yeah, and we were talking about Bezos and his rockets and how Bezos standard time. There you go. We've talked about how they don't get any media coverage for their successful landings, but they're not landing it on a ship that's driving itself.
I guess BST is bovine somatotropin, which is a hormone injected into cattle.
All right. Well, that gives a good segue for the next story. Yahoo is giving bidders another week for bidding. Okay. Moving deadline to April 18th.
Did you pause intentionally, or was that my side?
No, I paused intentionally. Yeah. That was for the gravitas. The process to sell Yahoo has been churning on as a variety of potential acquirers and just plain rubberneckers get briefed by management, either by video, phone, or in person. Only the chosen strategic ones like Verizon and AT&T get the royal treatment, Kyle. Sources say CEO Marissa Mayer, who has been joined in meetings by her deal-making shadow Ian Weingarten, legal dude Ron Bell, increasing grumpy CFO Ken Goldman, and always sunny SFP Jeff Bonforte. They seem upbeat, Kyle. And this is touting, they're going to downplay the poor projections of the company, and they're just going to say, yeah, we've got this sale. Yeah, it's good. But moving the deadline, that's not so great. That's not good omen.
Finally.
I mean, unless they have like multiple bidders and they're moving the deadline so that they can off a deal. It doesn't sound like that.
They're trying to make it sound like people are way more interested in Yahoo. There was an article that came out yesterday that said, hey, looks like Google wants to buy part of Yahoo's internet business, something, something or other. Like, come on. Really? You think Google wants any part of that?
No. Do it. No, Yahoo is just... it's the hot potato now.
It's a potato.
It's not a hot topic.
No.
It's a hot potato, and it's about to explode. Speaking of exploding, Kyle, Adobe patches Flash ransomware flaw that targets Windows 10 users. Yeah. Adobe has rushed out a flash update to plug a security hole spotted by InfoSec researchers who warned that Windows 10 users of the software may have been exposed to the flaw for more than a week. Uh-oh, guys. They could exploit the flaw by sending ransomware to Windows 10 machines. Adobe said the update is addressing the critical vulnerabilities in Flash and advised users to install the latest version of the software as soon as possible. Researchers. Oh, man.
Finally.
What's that word? Researchers? What did I say?
Researchers.
Yeah, those researchers at Proofpoint. I guess it's a company.
That's why.
They worked with other InfoSec folk to track down the latest security hole in Flash that could be exploited by attackers with a ransomware type dubbed Cerber. I guess that's like Cerberus?
Or no.
It's just Cerber?
It's where you keep the internet over on the Cerber.
It's Cerber with a cold.
Right. Yes.
I want some Sherbert on my Cerber.
I knew you were going to do that. Orange.
The ransomware Cerber. The ransomware is understood to have been in the wild since at least March 31st. And I've also heard that if you have Flash on your other operating systems, it could be a vulnerable software thing.
Like my Mac operating system X, maybe.
X.
It might have it, too.
This is just a lesson. Don't use Flash ever again. Because it seems to be the only thing that gets the it's the hole for security everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right. I have no idea.
Always the culprit.
I'm here trusting these companies blindly to install things on my computer.
You just accept all of those terms of service, huh?
Yeah.
Have you ever read through a terms of service?
Absolutely not. Do I have a choice? Come on.
No, you can. You can take the time. You can also, basically write off the day because you won't have anything else to do other than reading that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a legal document. But by just hitting accept and not reading, Kyle, there could be some touchy stuff in there.
Ooh.
No.
No thanks.
No thanks.
I don't want to.
Well, I'm not advocating for that either because I always did accept. I don't really care.
I've got one more tiny little headline that I did not add into here, but I do want to cover. Today, 10 a.m. Pacific time, which would be, 1 p.m. Eastern?
A little under 3 hours from now.
Sure. So 3 hours from now, the Stone 20th anniversary tickets are going on sale. If you're into beer and interested in going to that.
That was yesterday, Kyle.
I highly recommend that. That was yesterday, National Beer Day. But today is when the tickets go on sale for their 20th anniversary. Highly recommended. I've gone the last, 4 years, 5 years? I can't even, I don't
even
know.
When is the event?
It's usually in September, August. I'm actually looking for it right now since I didn't put it in there. Grab the tickets, clicking on the link. It's on a Saturday, August 20th.
August 20th.
Yeah, all right, that's cool. Right. So they go
there
on
you
sale.
Go, people.
They go on sale very, very soon. So I'm going to be attending session B, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. If you're there, there's a whole boatload of people there. So say hi. I'll attempt to wear something inconspicuous.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a morning show meetup.
Do you want to go?
I think I should go.
It's in Southern California.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
If we get tickets today at 10 a.m. Pacific time, Kyle.
That's right.
For an August 20th Saturday event at 5 to 8 p.m.
Oh, that's right.
I can plan out to go.
100% of the proceeds go to support local charities. So please, if you would, they are not a sponsor. But go get your tickets today.
But Kyle, who is a sponsor?
That would be FeedPress. FeedPress's analytics and podcast hosting made for, really for us. It's made directly for us. They support all of the features that we need here over at the Good Stuff Broadcasting Network. But more specifically, this is supposed to appeal to you, Kenny. So if you're looking for, you, if you need analytics for your RSS feed, or if you need podcast file hosting. They've got all of that wrapped up into a simple, intuitive, and unified dashboard. They feature a powerful subscriber and podcast download tracking tool, integrated newsletters, automated publishing to popular social networks like Twitter and Facebook, a slick drag-and-drop podcast hosting interface, and everything you need in order to submit a feed to iTunes for that brand new podcast, the sparkly pretty podcast that you want to...
Sparkly pretty?
You want to take it, put it onto the iTunes so other people can use their ears to listen to it. That's right. Yes. And let's face it, you've probably thought, man, I've had this feed forever. Maybe you're one of those. Maybe you've got a blog that you started in 1986 and you said, man, I've had this feed over on FeedBurner and it's just been burning up. Move it over to FeedPress. They offer automatic migration, so you can make that transition with ease. All you have to do is just answer a few simple questions, and the rest is taken care of. Your feeds, your subscriber data, all of that. Transitioned into your brand new FeedPress account, leaving you free to focus on creating that very aged content that you made back in 1986. I don't know all why. Right. I don't know how you had a blog, but you did.
It was just written on a legal pad.
Yes, yes, and you've been scanning that legal pad. It's a
with your home address written at the top.
Oh, no, you don't want any of that. But you do want FeedPress. Their support is responsive and available 7 days a week via email. So get in touch. They can help. If you've got extra questions, more than really I can answer at this point, and I'm listening, but I can't hear you. So if you do have questions, email them. They can help you out. First, step one, go over to feed.press/morningshow. Sign up, try it, 14 days, no contracts, no commitments, no credit card, nothing. But when you do decide to buy after that 14-day trial period, use the promo code MORNINGSHOW. During checkout, you'll get 10% off that first year of service with FeedPress, and you're going to love it so much, you're going to sign up for another year after that.
Woohoo!
I know it. I absolutely know it. A huge thanks to FeedPress for supporting Morning Show. That's us here, Kyle, Kenny, both of us together, Morning Show. And the entire Good Stuff Broadcasting Network. Got some facts for you, Kenny.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear some facts of the day.
It's the fact of the day.
I'm dancing over here. Dancing. The world's oldest living thing. How old is it?
No, I want to know what it is.
You want to know what it is first. That's all, folks. The oldest living thing is a patch of Mediterranean seagrass in between Spain and Cyprus.
What?
Mediterranean seagrass. That's what you've got there on the in your little package, right? Still? Have you eaten it yet?
Yeah.
Is it still? Is
my
it
edible
still,
grass?
Yeah, is it
it's
still
totally still right next to my sriracha piece.
Oh, gosh, it's still alive.
Oh, no, I'm sure this is far.
It's long dead.
Stale. Let's take a taste. This is the Food Friday little... Oh my gosh, it peels apart really easy.
Okay, let's hear it.
Can't really hear it.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's try another strand.
How old does it taste?
It just tastes the same. Okay. It says Best Buy August 31st. So I got some time.
Oh man, but the package is open, right? So
it doesn't matter. It's okay. Grass.
All right, that's true. You could maybe take it to the Mediterranean Sea and plant it. Become the
plant
world's,
the edible grass.
That's right. That's right. So
and then wait, how long?
You would have to wait 200,000 years.
Whoa!
They had the DNA sequenced of this Posidonia oceanica.
Garco?
And you want Garco's help on that? Do ya? Stalling.
Posidonia oceanica.
There you go. I don't think that's right, but we'll go with that. They had the DNA sequenced, and it turns out certain parts of it are 200,000 years old. So it's, that would make it the oldest living thing.
Yeah, I always thought that the like the giant sequoias in Northern California.
Right.
I thought those were always the oldest things on Earth. But I guess, man, tiny little seagrass.
Yeah. What kind of powers do you think you would get if you ate this seagrass?
I guess you just have life longevity, right?
I think
it would make you live older.
Yeah, I think you would turn into grass, though. Like maybe you would be, you'd be green, or you'd turn into like one of those inflatable tube men kind of things. That's what I see, because you're kind of like in the water.
Stretch.
Yeah.
Whoa, or my arms. You know what?
You're probably right though, Kyle. You would probably live to be 200 years old,
right.
But you would have to be in a bed for the rest of your life,
yep.
And you would just every year you'd stretch further and further.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like you'd be Reed Richards and you'd just stretch out, but you wouldn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't come. You wouldn't be a regular person anymore. You just keep stretching. Out.
So sad. What would your
and turning green? And
what would your superhero name be?
Grass man.
I'm definitely a grass man myself. But
I was gonna say, Kyle, that when they bury you, they just put you right on top of the plot because you're just grass.
Just grow into it. You know, that's not a bad idea. I like that.
That's a terrible idea.
I've got another fact for you.
Oh, good.
You ready? The First World War officially ended on October 3rd, 2010.
What?
That's right. The Archduke Franz Ferdinand, that's what kicked it all off. But that war didn't end until October 3rd, 2010. It's 92 years after the fighting stopped.
Wasn't it like Franz Ferdinand accidentally ran into the dude who was going to kill him? Like he missed him once and then he actually ran into him again.
I don't know the details. I don't think they had blogs back then. Maybe they did.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. If they had a blog, we would have known.
I would have known. Where's the Medium article?
Would have been on Twitter. Would have been trending. Would have been a hashtag. Hashtag Franz Ferdinand.
That's right. Archduke, though, not the band. It's different.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Good.
Actually, you know what? Archduke would be a good band name. Why didn't they go with that? You got Arch Enemy and then Arch Duke.
Yes, I can imagine Franz Ferdinand just with a female. So
how much
screaming.
Did they have to? How much did they have to pay?
Are you trying to get me to talk about it? Because I didn't say anything about that. Now you're just reading what's on the screen. So here's the reason why it lasted 92 years longer than we first suspected. Germany had to pay off the last chunk of reparations imposed by the Allies. So it took them 92 years to fully pay off what they had set in 1919 in the Treaty of Versailles to...
Versailles.
That's what I said.
You says it's like you had plurals after Evzori's words.
Yes, and...
All right, continue.
Come here, Kenny.
So that's it. That's why. That's why it lasted so long, and those were the details of the fact. Thank you for ruining it. I appreciate
you're welcome.
What do you think? You wanna move on to a national day?
Yeah, Kyle, I really want to know what today's national day is.
Good.
Please. This day in history.
There you go. I don't know. I don't like that
what
one.
What is it?
Maybe, let's see. Got a different one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Today's what? National day is empanada day.
He didn't end with a flurry. He went, empanada day.
Mm-hmm. Kenny, happy national empanada day.
I'm not even going to try to figure out which ones those are.
An empanada, Kenny, is a stuffed bread or pastry, baked or fried, boiled. No, I guess it's not boiled. In many countries in Latin Europe, Latin America, never heard that phrase, Latin Europe, and southwestern United States and parts of Southeast Asia.
Okay.
You can get it
basically
in all.
Half the world.
That's right.
What you're saying.
All half the world.
Let's find out. Keep talking. I just want to know what it is. What is it? Somebody once told me the world
is gonna roll me. That'll get you to shut up.
Yeah, it will.
Empanadas, Kenny, come from one of the largest food families in the world. They're kind of the, if we're thinking about food families, maybe.
Yeah.
They're cousins and aunts and uncles everywhere include calzones, samosas, which I guess are the Indian equivalent. Cornish pastries, which I've never heard of. Pierogies.
Okay pierogies.
Fatayar.
Okay.
And the all... familiar hot pockets.
You have all of these cultural relevant foods and then hot pockets.
I feel far more connected to, if you think about the total number of these that I've eaten in my life, definitely hot pockets are at the top of that list. Right? Like the lava like barbecue beef flavored ones.
Oh gosh.
Burn ya. Yeah. So all of these are dough.
I was going to say that the samosas.
Yes.
Anytime I hear the word samosas, I think of there's an episode of The Office where Michael Scott takes a big bite of samosa and he goes, oh, and he spits it out next to like all of these Indian people who are just watching him intently spit out their food.
At a restaurant.
Oh, this tastes nothing like s'mores. Like it's not
Samoa.
And then people look at him like, wait, what did you think it was? And he goes, it's, and then he has a talking head. They cut the camera and they're like, and he goes, it's really easy. You have a graham cracker, you have chocolate, you have marshmallow. It's really easy. How did they get it wrong? So anyway, sorry. That's a side note
and sidebar. And that's why I don't watch The Office.
And that's why we take forever with these episodes.
Mm-hmm. Empanadas, Kenny, themselves are, they're a big extended family throughout Latin America, according to Cincinnati.com. I'm reading some more. They've got siblings in Colombia, Argentina, Venezuela, Cuba, Bolivia, Ecuador, all over the place. They're all different.
The way that you're making the sound is as though there is an empanada family.
Empanada family. Yeah. Yeah.
Like the empanadas.
Are you curious about how to make one?
Yes.
Have you ever made one?
I have made like two things in my life. I haven't even made a pizza, and I love pizza.
Okay, all right. And
but I mean from scratch.
I feel if you folded over a pizza, you'd basically get an empanada, more or less.
I guess I've made hot pockets. No, I haven't made them from scratch. Yeah, I actually toss them into the microwave from like 3 feet away.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So am I going to learn how to make one here?
Yes. So what I've done is I took your favorite, Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. And he's got, I guess, a YouTube channel on
yes, he does.
Ways to make food where he does the voiceover on, you know, how to prepare certain dishes. And he's actually got one specifically for empanadas. Now.
Okay.
Gordon Ramsay, though, is also very well known for his expletive-filled television show, is he not?
Yeah, but I don't think he does that when he prepares his food.
No, but what if he did? So what I've done...
There are YouTube people out there who have, like, you know, very explicit cooking shows.
Right, right. So this one is not intended to be explicit, so what I've done is I've done kind of an inappropriate censor of a Gordon Ramsay ingredients list. Are you ready?
Perfect. Yes.
Here we go.
First, finely chop onion and garlic. Set in a pan of hot olive oil until tender. Add paprika, cinnamon, and cumin. And stir. Cooking the spices off intensifies the flavor. Add beef mince to the pan, brown, and season. Add chili flakes for a kick. Next, dried oregano. Chopped green olives.
Oregano!
And chopped b****s. Once it's mixed through, set aside to cool. For the empanada cases, roll out puff p**y. This stuff's so time-consuming to make at home. So, do what I do. Cheat and use s**t bought. Cut into dicks. Spoon the mixture into one half of the disc, leaving roughly a centimetre border around the edge. Brush the edge of one half of the disc with egg and fold it over. Crimp the edges with your fingers to seal and remove air pockets. Then simply cook in a medium oven until golden brown. Super easy, super quick, and super tasty. Serve with chimichurri, a spicy South American herb salsa.
There you go. That's how you make an empanada, according to inappropriately censored Gordon Ramsay.
You know what? He has the weirdest way to pronounce some of those words, doesn't
oregano.
He?
Yeah.
Oregano. No, oregano.
Oregano. That's right. It comes from Oregon.
It's from Oregon.
It's from the great state of Oregon.
That's actually how people say Oregon when they're speaking Spanglish.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, oregano.
Yeah.
California.
Oregon move to the food facts about empanadas?
Sure.
The Spanish word for bread is pan, and empanar is a verb that means to bread. So empanada is the past participle of breaded in Spanish, as you did mention.
Okay.
There you go. That's where the word gets its meaning.
Okay, yeah.
They originated in Northwest Spain, and I guess they were also made with bread dough originally, and now they are made, as Gordon Ramsay explained to us, with puff pastry.
Okay. So you know, this is making me really hungry for an empanada now.
I want one, yeah.
Now, he made what, a beef empanada? Or what?
I'll let your mind wander. I'm not sure what he used because I wasn't really paying attention.
Neither was I.
Yeah, go.
And I'm sure it was bleeped.
That's right.
I wonder if you can put different stuff inside of the empanada.
Oh yeah, I've actually
had the weirdest. What's the weirdest empanada
that I've had?
Could you have a pizza empanada?
No, that'd be a calzone. I had a soup empanada. Okay.
A soup?
Yeah. So if you've ever had like a Chinese soup dumpling. Where you bite into it and then soup comes out.
Okay.
It's like soup in a small, convenient package.
Okay, now don't criticize me or don't judge me, but what if you did like a chowder empanada?
Yes.
All the chunky of a chowder inside the empanada. So like the potatoes, clams, bacon. And veggies.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
Yes. Oh, man.
I want that.
We got to make one, Kyle.
No. Yes, please.
Like it's an upvote from me. Oh, yeah. What was that?
That's right. Thank you.
Look at that.
Kenny, we're going to read a couple popular and trending stories right now. These are trending at the bottom of the internet somewhere. Just kind of boiling, living for 200,000 years. At the bottom of the Mediterranean internet sea. That's right. You know how we've talked about the sounds that that animals make?
Pew,
on,
pew,
on,
pew.
Many, on many occasions, that was actually not the soundboard. Do you want the
sound? I know, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Pew, 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 pew.
You sound almost identical. Because it is you.
Pew, 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 pew.
Google has expanded this vastly. They actually include on their search terms, if you search for like, what does a monkey sound like, what does a cat sound like, they had a couple of those already. We had played them previous to this episode, but now they've added 19 new animal sounds, including monkey, cat, cow, duck, elephant, horse, lion, moose, owl, pig, raccoons, rooster, sheep, tiger, turkey, turtle, bowhead, humpback whale, wolf, zebra.
What's a bowhead?
Not sure. Going to find out.
Yeah, let's find out what that sounds like.
It's a black Arctic right whale that feeds by skimming the surface for plankton. I don't know what it looks like, but it's another it's another type of whale that I guess. Oh, it looks
So you know what this reminds me of?
They grow to about 14 to 18 meters in length.
Scary. That's scary.
75 tons.
Oh my gosh.
So huge.
I want an empanada that big. What that reminds me of is...
Why is my empanada filled with a whale?
You know that I want to call it a learning device. It's a toy for toddlers.
Okay.
You know, babies and toddlers, mm-hmm. where you pull the string on the thing and yes. it's like a wheel and yes. then it points to an animal and it does the sound, but it's yes. like this awful, awful quality.
Yes.
That's what Google's doing now with the internet.
But for search results.
Yeah, you should, instead of saying, I feel lucky or I'm feeling lucky, you should be like, pull the string, and then it's just random. Pulls an animal.
No, because then it would probably number two on you. That's not okay.
The string's holding in the poo?
Yes, yes. It's the only thing, it's the only thing left keeping Google intact.
I think you mean Poogle.
It's... So what do you think? Does this deserve an upvote from us? They've kind of expanded what we thought.
I would love to upvote this, but I feel like 19 new animal sounds is not enough.
Ooh, okay. What more do they need? What animals do they need? Falcon? They don't have a falcon.
Kyle, I mean, there are thousands of animals out there that they could add.
I feel like they need the fox in there, and then they just need to have it linked to that song. Yeah. Because you would think it's still in the like Google pre-designed search results, but when you click it, you kick it, it plays the song instead of the actual sound.
Right.
So
that would be good. It does need a lot more though, I hear. I mean, these are the go-tos, right? But people know what these sound like. That's the thing is, I know what all of the animals that you listed, I know what they sound like. Give me animals that I don't know anything about. Give me those sounds, and then I can learn, because that's the whole point.
You want to hear a couple of the new ones?
Sure, why not?
Okay, here's a raccoon.
Yeah.
Here is a tiger.
Ooh. That sounds like me snoring.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Here's a turkey. This is me snoring. So,
okay.
Couple of new ones. There's whales and such. So, not a full upvote from you. So maybe half like that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Sure.
So we'll just go up. Both of us go up. Because I think Google will do a little bit better and they will add some more soon. Speaking of animal sounds, Kenny. Here's a video of a dog barking. Now, let me see if I can have Garko's help on this, because I don't do numbers in the morning. Garko, how many barks did the dog have?
376,572,715,308.
Okay.
What?
That is how many barks are in this video with this dog. Now, how did this happen? This person who created this video duplicated a video of a dog barking, so I'll play a little bit of that now. Into a 3x3 grid, as you hear right now, and then just repeated that procedure over and over and over and over and over again for a good almost 5 minutes here, and you end up with this really weird, crazy sounding, like, here, I'll pull down the music and let you hear this part. This is a dog barking.
Sounds like a dog getting cleaned.
Or a hairdryer, maybe. This dog's name is Gabe. Let's go back a little bit and play this
Gabe,
part.
Gabe is like the exponential dog.
That's right.
Here. What are we going back?
Yeah. So it's just echoing into the distance. These are all the dogs starting to bark. The dog machine is powering up.
I was
going to
say, it's, you know what it actually sounds like? It's a buzzsaw or a power drill just drilling into a dog.
And this is... That sound is only halfway through the video. So that's half of the 300.
What's the end? Let's hear the end.
Let's hear the very end.
Yeah.
Here you go.
I don't know, I thought it would have been higher. I wonder how much processing power that guy's computer had to deal with for that.
It once it gets towards the end, it does start clipping. So there's just too many dogs.
Too much Gabe.
Too much Gabe the dog.
Yep.
So what do you Gabe this video?
Okay. I honestly saw the title and I saw that the dog was barking billions and billions of times, and I didn't read any further, and I really wanted it to be like some 14-day YouTube video where somebody sat there and counted how many barks there were. I really wanted that to be it, so I'm a little let down, so I'm going to downvote it. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Gabe.
I don't have a downvote sound. Maybe just a little bit. How about this? Yeah.
What?
There you go.
All right.
I completely disagree with you. I enjoy the little yippy yappy bark of this dog named Gabe.
Yippy yappy.
Yep. So I'm going to also
yippy
not give it a downvote and give it an upvote.
All right.
Kenny, moving on to the history of pizza. There's a 14-minute video that will be in the show notes, goodstuff.fm/morningshow, or over on morningshow.am. This video outlines the 8 delicious slices within the history of pizza. So this, I guess, host on this video here, I don't know his name, but he walks through a bunch of different kinds of pizza throughout the history of pizza as it came to the United States. It's pretty interesting, but I've pulled out my favorite part of this, and I think a part really that you and I can relate to really, really well. So you want to hear that?
Sure, I'd love to hear it, Kyle.
Let's.
Which brings us just momentarily to leftover pizza. What remains on the countertop, in the fridge, in the box, on a plate, in a stack, covered in tinfoil, are left to the elements on Saturday morning. Delicious, delicious leftover breakfast pizza. Don't fool yourself. Though it was made by the same people as that delivery pizza, leftover pizza is a different kind of pizza. It has undergone a transformation. Leftover pizza is somehow more indulgent and maybe a little shameful, but no less awesome. It may be even more awesome. Leftover pizza is also sometimes surprise pizza. Leftover pizza is an artifact that remains, commemorating D&D games or Netflix marathons, all-nighters, hackathons, and various get-togethers. Pizza is so delicious and so powerfully persuasive in its ability to convince you to just have one more slice. Because of the presence of naturally occurring glutamates in tomato and cheese, you've maybe heard glutamates referred to as umami, and that is what makes slices so neurophysiologically irresistible. But I might argue there's also a romance to pizza that makes it so enjoyable. Leftover pizza doubly so. It's not only laden with that savory flavor magic, but with memories of whatever pizza-fueled shenanigans you got up to the night before, and perhaps need a nice cold slice of pizza to help you recover from.
That's right.
All right.
I'm crying a little bit, because it's just beautiful. I love, love, love. If you don't know, we are absolutely team cold pizza here. So,
yeah, and I don't know if I would say that they are advocates of that, though, Kyle. I felt like they were trying to be objective.
Well,
they were just saying that cold pizza is merely another type of pizza. They weren't saying you should go for the cold pizza or you should be a reheater, because reheaters are the devil.
Okay.
I'm saying that they took an objective stance.
But at least
I can appreciate that.
Of the 8 slices here, one of them is cold pizza.
That's good. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic.
That's an automatic upvote for me. Of course.
The internet, Kenny, has spoken. Speaking of the internet speaking. No, that's not how it works. Let's look at a record of the day. We're on to number 3 here, Kenny. Each day we're going to scour the internet looking for people willing to take on world records that nobody cares about. We'll mention one record today. And then today, we will also vote on the record of the week and which one we like the most from the entire week. So today's record, Kenny, is the fastest time to ball 10 pairs of socks.
To what?
Ball 10 pairs of socks. If you've ever,
to fold them?
Yes. If you've ever folded your socks and not just like laid them side by side and I guess like folded them over. If you take the two ends that are open of your socks and roll them kind of inside out, you can create a softball sized pair of socks that is easily transferable or shot into a cannon. Or basket, whichever you prefer, however you store your clothes. So the fastest time here to ball 10 pairs of socks is set in Australia, was set in Australia by Deb Craig, and it took 8.38 seconds. That is fast.
Yeah.
Less than a second per sock. Okay. Yeah. Now, some
I feel
are
like
contending.
It's cheating.
Yeah. Tell me why you think it's cheating, because some people have also mentioned that.
Because she has them lined up and the ends are sticking off the edge of the table that she's working on, thus giving her easy access to the ends of the socks to go rip really quickly. I'm looking at other records, or sorry, other times here. People have taken upwards of a minute to do this. Right. Which, that's not okay.
11 seconds, 19 seconds, 30 seconds. And the first
43
first record,
seconds.
Yeah, first record that's on here, 43 seconds. So, yeah.
And it looks like there was a day where they had a sock folding competition.
Outdoors.
Because it's all on October 17th, 2009.
That's right. At a festival of some sort. Yeah. Yep.
It was the Sock Festival, Kyle.
I remember the Sock Festival. You can actually get tickets today starting at 10 a.m. Be sure to go to session B of the Sock Festival.
All right. Anyway, but this is a current record. This has been confirmed then, despite the claims of cheating?
Correct. Yeah. So this has been confirmed over on recordsetter.com, but... some people are commenting on here saying that it's not fair that she used short socks, like ankle socks, or no-show socks. Because
so you're saying it needs to be tube socks.
The person at 11.9 seconds actually did tube socks. You can see the distinct difference between the two of those. And of course, you can think, man, I can shave off almost, 3 seconds from that time just by... cutting off the ankle part of the sock. So I think we need to get a little more specific, particularly with this record, but this is the record of the day, and that is how it was set. This is back in 2010 as well, so this record has stuck around for 6 years.
Wow, that's pretty good. No one's beaten it.
Did I say 2012?
You said 2010.
Okay.
Did you forget what you said in a second?
Yes.
Okay.
So what do you think of the three that we've covered this week? What's been your favorite?
What were the other ones?
Oh, boy.
Oh, the bubble one?
That's right. So the
I didn't like that one.
Moving your arm to create bubbles.
I thought that one was stupid.
Okay. All right. Do you remember the one from...
I don't.
From Monday? Oh, boy. All right. We have to dig back into the annals of time here.
Was it Monday?
Are you doing it for me or am I doing it?
I'm looking at it.
Record of the day.
Oh,
Kenny.
It was the egg thing.
That's right.
Him bending up and down with the eggs in his pockets.
Two eggs.
That's my favorite.
Okay, all right.
Because it's Pavel Durdyk.
Yes, it is. And he did it 812 times. And
the master.
He just had to stop. The egg master.
Yes.
He had to stop because he got tired.
He had to stop because he was going to break in half.
That's right. So I will agree with you as well.
All right.
Congratulations, Pavel Durdyk. Your record of the week trophy will be in the mail. And be sent to you post haste
in 2010,
all the way over in 2010 to Slovakia. So there you go. Congratulations, right. Kenny. I'm ready to move on to
eat time.
The best part of the day, Food Friday.
I'm with my crew. And we gonna show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig?
Okay.
Eat it. What'd you get, Kyle?
Here's what I've got. Kenny, Pop Chips. Have you heard of Pop Chips?
Pop Chips. Is that like popcorn chips?
No. No, they're chips for dads.
Ha 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 ha.
No, so these are...
You can't ding yourself.
You're right. Dried potato and rice flour put together. They are a gluten-free chip.
Oh, okay, but so they're I like rice.
Yeah,
one of those things called
Krispies.
No, not Rice Krispies.
Rice cakes.
Yeah, rice cakes.
Like tiny little rice cakes, kind of. Yeah, really thin, tiny rice cakes that have been, I think, baked or popped, okay. Something like that. But I got to kind of round out our travels through the hot and spicy, breath-defying foods.
Yeah,
I am rounding this out with crazy hot pop chips. The words crazy hot are actually on fire on the front of this. So,
all right. I'm going to let you dive into those chips while I start a story here. Kyle,
please, would you?
Let's see. We'll start with this one. 105-year-old Rangers fan stays healthy by drinking 3 Dr. Peppers a day.
What?
Yeah, the Texas Rangers welcomed 105-year-old Elizabeth Sullivan to throw out the first pitch before Wednesday's game against the Seattle Mariners. And by the way, she's awesome. The Fox Sports crew caught up with Sullivan in the stands during the fourth inning and asked her about what she drinks to stay healthy. She says, I drink 3 Dr. Peppers a day.
What?
I don't even drink that much. I love Dr. Pepper.
That's a lot. I mean, you've got to be
Her blood is probably coursing with Dr. Pepper at this point. It's the only thing keeping her alive is the 3 Dr. Peppers.
No, Grandma Pepper.
And she's probably got a huge deal now with Dr. Pepper. They've probably funded the rest of her life.
Oh, I hope so. It's a good investment.
That's good advertisement, right? The fact that Dr. Pepper is keeping this woman alive.
Yep.
That's great for them. It's lifeblood, people. Dr. Pepper.
It is. The smell of these chips is fantastic.
Yeah.
It smells a little bit like...
does it smell like the impending doom of like hot and spicy?
Like vinegar, yeah. So here we go. I'm going to try the first one.
Okay, let's hear it.
No crunch? It's kind of sweet at first, yeah. No.
Here, they sound stale.
Let me try and get a crunch.
There we go. All right. That's what we needed in the morning.
They're pretty salty. Kind of sweet, actually. Crazy sweet, maybe? No, salty and sweet together.
So not spicy.
Well, the hot is definitely the last flavor I get.
Okay.
So almost like if you've done hot Cheetos and Takis as our...
Is it uncomfortable, Kyle?
Theme song goes, no. But my throat feels a little tickly right now. Tickly.
Oh, okay.
Right,
so not near... We get a cough. Oh, no. Stifle the heat with some more chips.
Yes, please.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to read one more story here. The world's largest Starbucks will open in 2018 and promises coffee as theater.
Theater.
The world's largest coffee chain will open its biggest shop in New York City. It's a sprawling 20,000 square foot roastery meant to serve up coffee as theater. The new location is part of Starbucks' plan to rope in coffee connoisseurs who would otherwise frequent fancy boutique roasters with charges north of $4 a cup. The Seattle coffee chain... Yeah, the Seattle coffee chain already competes with quick serve competitors such as Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is their attempt to be like artisan coffee destination for these New York Cityers.
But why have a 20? I mean, I guess they have to be 20,000 feet just to house the line inside so that don't have to wait outside in the snow and the rain.
It's like they want to invent their own Starbucks food court inside their own Starbucks.
Right. That would be pretty cool. You have a sandwich spot. You've got a espresso spot. I would love it if they just had one single line for the iced coffee. Because all they do for the iced coffee or the cold brew coffee is take it from a pitcher that's been sitting in a refrigerator. Like, I could do that myself. Give me a cup. Give me the place where I put the ice in it.
Right.
And I'll freaking pour it myself.
So you want self-serve iced coffee at your Starbucks?
Yeah. Because it takes literally no work. I'm paying for the cup.
Stop talking with your mouth full.
These are not really spicy. These are like perfectly spicy. It says crazy hot on the front, but it's not bad at all.
Well, we know that you have a high tolerance for the spice.
I guess I do. Yeah. Well,
that's actually a little discouraging though, that you your mouth wasn't fired up by these, that it was only satisfied by the heat.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Kyle, that was your Food Friday.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yes, I did. Well, Kenny, you can get all of the links to the things. Oh man, I got this weird.
Do you need me to talk here?
We got some weird. I don't have anything to drink in here. I don't
that's the Food Friday. That's the test, is eat really, really weird food, but have nothing to wash it down with.
you can wash it down with some Flow Notes, Kenny. They just flow right back, right into your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Right into your colon.
Yep. Over to goodstuff.fm you go to ingest those Flow Notes, which are our version of show notes. We use a tool called Workflowy every single day. We have been since episode 8 of this show. So nearly, what, 3,000 episodes so far?
Yeah, 3,000.
Pretty much. So go check those out. Goodstuff.fm, also over on Goodstuff.fm, are a couple of awesome shows right now. I guess we're grown-ups now. Three Guys, Three Questions is on a little bit of a break. They will be back soon, but their last episode was fantastic, and they totally got me last Friday. I bought into it, and I had to Google, and I felt
wow.
Dumb. Yeah, really dumb.
Despite taking your own advice of you can't take anything on that day seriously.
Nope. And yet I did because I trusted them.
Oh, no, don't trust anyone.
Also posted this week, there are two new episodes, one of the Non-Breaking Space Show and of the At YouTube podcast. If you'd like any of those, please go over to goodstuff.fm and check them out. Thanks to the people who have emailed us this week, kyle@goodstuff.fm. You can send questions, concerns, complaints, or other good stuff and just pat me on the back. I appreciate that.
You said good stuff.
Thank you so much. You can also check us out on Twitter. Good Stuff is over at Good Stuff FM on Twitter. And this show, Morning Show, is Morning Show AM, the FM and the AM, from the AM to the PM.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget 10 a.m. Pacific time. The Stone 20th anniversary tickets do go on sale.
They are really not a sponsor, guys.
I'm reminding myself to do this because I do have a meeting right at 10 a.m. and I'm gonna put it off until I buy those tickets. Confirm that I've got them. Session B, if you'd like to meet up with us, we'll be there August 20th. Just put it on your calendar now. You can also rate this show on iTunes. We would appreciate it. My mouth's getting a little bit weird, so I'm going to move on. Kenny, see you next week.
You will.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Goodbye.
Oh, bye.